Well, we never know who we're going to get on Mother's Day here. Thank y'all for being here. Because I thought all of y'all would be out of town, some big festivity to your son and daughter's place, out on the beach or somewhere where they live. My boys, I have two boys, many of you know, and I'm beginning to be bold now after all these years to ask them, where y'all taking Mom on Mother's Day? Because, you know, for years they looked to me. You know what I mean, Alan? I know what's still going on. Hey, what are we doing for Mom? I don't know. She's not my mother. You know, tell me where you want her to be.
It's surprising those conversations in the last couple years of a lot of people in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it felt kind of weird this time not buying the card and putting it in front of my boys to sign, you know. They love her. But we are going to go over to my son's house this afternoon. But you never know coming in here, many of y'all are out of town and everything. So we're in the book of John still. You know, Emory, we're not going to go very far. For those of you that haven't been for a while, we're still doing Bible characters. And we have a trichotomy here. Dr. Denny Autry is still with us, but he's interim over at First Baptist Pearland right now. And during that time, Zach Nicholson is in here with me, and we're kind of tag-teaming in here. And Denny's still in the mix. We haven't fired him. He hasn't rejected y'all, but he's over there at First Baptist Pearland. And so we're trying to stay in this series of Bible characters. We're trying our best to come up with sometimes some obscure characters that are not out of the norm, even though the norm, the ones that we know a whole lot about, we probably don't know everything about. So we want to go back and visit those. But last week, I was in the fourth chapter of John. And this is the story that many of us basically have heard, the story of the woman at the well. And last week we talked about her situation, the woman at the well, and we squeezed out of it what we could. Let me remind you of three things as we're going to look at God's Word as to try to grab the emotions of the characters involved. I tried last week to show you the emotions of that lady coming out to that well at noontime. To get some water, and water was used for livelihood. I came and tried to grab her emotions that because of her lifestyle and everything, that once she realized who she was in the midst of, that possibly she felt unworthy. And where's Blake at? Blake, I really appreciate what you said, because I got to thinking about that. That woman could have come out to that well pretty haughty and arrogant. Just though some do. You ain't getting a witness in here, buddy. I mean, you know how the crowd did with Jesus. Crucify him. Ooh, man. But, you know, she could have been. You know, Blake, right. I mean, really, I thought about this all week as I was driving. She's gone through these men, you know, and the one she was living with is not her husband. She's probably had to defend her lifestyle for people that were arrogant and catty to her. She could have been pretty tough, you know. She really could have been kind of arrogant. And she started out with Jesus being a little arrogant with her comments to him. She began to meet the one that gives her living water. And so we left her last week as she realized who Jesus was. And so we tried to grab her emotions and we tried to visualize the scripture where she was out at this well and Jesus sitting at the well. She came out with this water pot to get water. And in those days, it wasn't piped into their houses, their dwellings. They had to go get water. And she went out there and got water. And she got the living water. And so that's how we left her. And I didn't want to leave it there because there's some other characters involved in this deal. Those of you who've been with me a lot know that I do pick on these guys. I think, I'm not trying to say that Jesus doesn't know how to pick them, but let me just tell you, the disciples missed the revival last week. Did you see that? They missed the revival. And all that led up to that, and Jesus talking to this woman, did you bring the stuff today? Very good, the brownies.
Thank you.
This is a good big one.
I don't think there's anything left back there, but very good, thank you. Jesus, the Bible said he had must need. Folks, stay with me today, please. Yesterday, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Yesterday, it starts out, and I go over to looking for First Methodist West Chase. You ever been over there? Okay, I'm looking for First Methodist West Chase because I'm going to Kendall Cobb's dad's funeral over there yesterday morning, and got turned around. So I get out my smartphone. It's pretty dumb, and and then I had to rush over there to get over to Jeter Funeral Home, Herb Estes's funeral. Many of you knew Herb and Marie Estes and all of their kids that grew up here. And what a prince of a guy. And so had the funeral there. Then I had to rush over here to Texas Land and Cattle because Carolyn Bobby McCain's daughter, Bobby, y'all know Bobby, she grew up here. She's a doctor now.
Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Bobby McCain. And so I'm in there at Texas Land and Cattle. I'm going to get back to the lesson in just a second. I'm over at Texas Land and Cattle, and I walk in because Carolyn wanted me to come in there to bless everything. So the priest is going in, and I'm going to bless Bobby and the food and everybody. And I go in there, and all these relatives, if y'all don't know Bobby and Carolyn McCain, wonderful people, but everyone in there, let me tell you what, everyone but me were African-American. I was the only white guy there. And so Carolyn McCain introduces me as her first cousin to her sisters and everybody back in Mississippi that were there, you know? And so it was so much fun over there. I really had a great time. And then I had to go home and put my tux on and head down to Santa Fe and did the wedding for Brittany Long, Steve Long's daughter. That's David Long. If you know David and Betsy Long, that's their granddaughter. And so the festivities were over about 9:30 last night. So I went home and got on drugs, and I'm ready to go today, okay? No, not really. I didn't get on drugs. It looks like I'm always.
You didn't have time to study for your lesson.
No, I didn't. No. Oh no, I got it. Oh no. Rod, where's Rod? Help me, Rod. When did I get you the outline?
Tuesday.
Yep.
The week before.
Warren, that's right, Warren. I know you thought maybe I got saved and had revival in my heart to prepare that early, didn't you? I'm telling you, they missed it. They missed it. He's there encountering this woman. Don't forget that verse 4 where he says, I must needs to go through Samaria. You remember that last week? I must needs. They didn't understand the must needs. And the disciples were kind of a little skittish about walking through Samaria anyway. They would rather go through Perea, you remember, or go along the coast and hover the coast. He goes right through the middle of Samaria. He goes right to the well where there's going to be some people show up. And he knew it. And they didn't want to be there. John chapter 4. Let's look at the disciples that missed it. Let's start at verse 27. That's where we left off last week. And upon this, a little word, remember? Upon this woman trusting him, upon this of the encounter with Jesus, upon this that her life was changed, came his disciples. And they marveled. I love the scripture. And they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or, why do you talk to her? Well, I can imagine grabbing their emotions. They didn't want to bring this up to him. Well, why are you talking to her? You know, I mean, this is the Son of God. I mean, he can talk to whoever he wants to. We didn't want to talk to her. But we're sure not going to question his decision to talk to this woman. And they said, why do you talk us with her? And then the woman left with her water pot. Whoa, stop. What just happened? Then the woman left with her water pot.
Left her water pot.
Good. She left it there, folks. She didn't leave with it. This was a container that was life to them. She didn't leave with the water pot. She left the water pot. Wow. Must have been a big change for her to leave the water pot. And went back. Back into town. She had something to say. She had something to say. It reminded me of the Gadarene demoniac that when Jesus he encountered Jesus and Jesus got in the boat to leave the country. The Gadarene demoniac, after he'd been saved, wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus told him, no, you stay here. You share with your friends. And you remember that guy didn't have any friends. He was demon possessed, lived up in the tombs. And he said, Jesus said, no, you stay here with your friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for you. And the next verse says, then he went back into the town of the Decapolis and he proclaimed and published and shared with them what the Lord had done for him. The Bible said, and all men did marvel. There's a correlation here with this woman right here, because the woman left her water pot and she went her way into the city, and she saith to the men. What do you think? Is she not talking to women too? Why just the men, writer of the Gospel of John? What do you think?
Women thought it wouldn't have anything to do with her.
Women wouldn't have anything to do with her. That's right.
It was the men that hung out in town while the women were...
Well, it was the town that hung out with her.
Yeah.
I mean, she had five husbands back in that town. But it just says, we don't know, but that's what it says right here. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city, and she saith to the men, here's what she says, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You see, the woman had turned her faith to the Lord Jesus, and now she rushes into the city to tell others. And we notice that she didn't talk to the women. Because she probably, like Lillian says, she probably wasn't on speaking terms with the women. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some of these men that she had been involved with, not all of them, well, she was involved with, they were probably very interested in knowing whether he could tell them all things that she had done.
Maybe they were worried.
Today we publish it in the paper. Or we get videos of men going into establishments.
Facebook.
Wow. So they were pretty interested in what he would say. That he could tell all things that she had done. So here's what happened. Then they went out of the city... in mass, they went out of the city and they came unto him. Verse 30. I believe the men did come because of her witness. I really do believe this. I do believe that there was some curiosity in what they would hear. Or to see a person that do everything about everything. You know, just the evidence she had witnessed to somebody is to me. You know what I mean? Nobody's a secret disciple. You shouldn't be. You come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Gee, if you ought to tell somebody. It shouldn't be a surprise. I can remember when I was Delta Airlines and I loved my job and I loved the company, and when I believe that God called me to the ministry, I had to go in and resign. And when I left, I thought about this. I said, I hope this is not a surprise to the guys here. You know? I mean, I didn't stand up and preach every shift that I was on, but I hope it wasn't a surprise about my character, who I am. I hope there were guys that say, well, hey, it figures, you know. When Jesus changes your life, He changes your life, and some people around you ought to know, but you ought to be different. You ought to be different, and they came because she shared with them. Verse 30. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying. The disciples had gone into town to get something to eat. They'd gone to get some meat. You remember? Catch you up. Jesus was sitting on the well. The woman comes from the town with her water pot. They have an encounter. She begins to have new life in Christ. And she leaves her water pot and she goes into town. And all these guys are coming back out. In the meanwhile, get the picture, the disciples are walking up and they're seeing all this. And here's what they can say. This is what comes out of their mouth. "Here, Master, do you want a Big Mac?" That's all they got. "Here, Master, eat." I know I shouldn't pick on them, but it just seems like all the situations that many of the situations I read about these guys, they were always concerned about food. They were always concerned about food. You remember when the thousands thronged him and all of a sudden the disciples came up to him and said, "Master, it's now time." What they were talking about is time to eat. And we got all these thousands of people out here and they're hungry. What are we going to do? What they were saying is, "We're hungry. What are we going to do? Get rid of these people. Let's go get something to eat." And he says, "You feed them. You feed them." God bless the little boy with his lunch. They were always concerned. The Last Supper. Were they all there? Yeah, they're not going to miss the Last Supper. If it's the very Last Supper, they're going to be there. So the disciples were. But they come up and say, "Here, Master, eat. You need to have something to eat. Here." Sound like Marie Barone. "Here, Raymond, eat. Here, eat." And so the disciples prayed, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you don't even know of because you missed it." You see, fellas, I'm going to train you for 3 years. They didn't know the term of the semester on this training because he knew the master's plan for his life, that he was going to train these guys for 3 years, pour his life into them, and they would go with him, and he was going to pour his life into them because one of these days he's going to a cross and he's going to die for you and I, and he's going to go and he's going to go straight to heaven, and he's going to be ready for us, and he's going to put he's going to put these guys in charge. You guys are in charge while I'm gone. I'm coming back. But you're in charge. He was wanting to transfer the whole spirit of evangelism over to these guys who are saying, "Here, Master, eat." And they missed it. They missed the revival. And so he said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." John 4, 31 through 34. Remind you, the reason he went through Samaria, that he must needs to go through Samaria, was to reach this woman for Christ. Because knowing that, it was going to spread out. You know, every one of us in here, I got to tell you, you may not think highly of yourself, but when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there was an investment in you. That you would have an impact on your sphere of influence. And I know it doesn't happen immediately, the whole town comes out. I know that. It happens over a while. And we as we begin to live out who we are in Christ. But never lose this fact in your life that people are watching. We are living proof, loving God, watching world. We are. We really are. People are watching us all the time. All the time. And so he says here in verse 35, "Say not you." He's talking to the disciples still. Oh, see, it's still a learning opportunity. Fellas, you missed the main lecture. You missed the main lab. But let me try to catch you up. Fellas, y'all got to learn this. The kingdom of God's at hand. You've got to learn it. So he says to them, "Say not ye," don't say this, "that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest." That we got 4 months before the harvest. "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they're white unto harvest now. He that reapeth wages, and gathereth fruit unto a life eternal. That both he soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Using these agricultural terms that they can understand here. "And herein is that saying true, one sows and the other reapeth." We talked about this, planting seeds and watering seeds and harvesting seed. "I sent you to reap that within you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are to enter into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city..." Many of the Samaritans of that city. That means not all of them. "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him." Still true today. Narrow is the way and few the fine way. Not everybody has to accept the claims of Christ. You know that? Isn't that great? That God, when we're born with a free will to choose, to accept or reject, or obey or disobey. And he leaves it up to you. God doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't pull our arm up behind our back. You better believe on me. No. It's there and it's your choice. But aren't there consequences for choices? Narrow's a way and few that find the way. There were some people from that city that came out and saw and heard and they still didn't believe. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." But a great host of people were reached to Christ through this woman who had a shady past. Here's why I believe they missed the revival. Number one, I believe the disciples were preoccupied. This is for those of you taking notes. The disciples were preoccupied. Verse number 8 there. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. They were preoccupied. So they missed it there. We miss a lot, folks, with our preoccupation. Every day I am getting up there, so days do become precious. Well, nights are pretty precious too, aren't they? But it's so easy. We don't even know what another day is going to... We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon if you have any family gatherings. We don't know. And so we have to go through the day with our eyes open, our ears open, and be aware of even divine encounters that you're going to cross paths with people. I know I'm that type A personality. I'm at the wedding reception last night. I'm working the room. I went to every table just visiting with people. I knew a lot of them and visiting with them. And it was amazing the connections that I learned that were there that I didn't know about. See, if you just get involved in people and talk and listen, and you find out, wow, I didn't know that. And so sometimes we do entertain angels unaware. But they were preoccupied. They were drawn away from the real main event. And they were going to go to town. They were not really aware of the mission. Didn't grab it. Number two, really, let's just be honest. The disciples were prejudiced. They were prejudiced against Samaritans, and they were prejudiced against Samaritan women. They were prejudiced. They didn't even want to be there, I don't believe. I can't find a verse for that, but I don't think they wanted to be there. We just know enough about the culture. We knew something about the socialization there that we knew that this is oil and water mixing here. And so it was convenient for them to be preoccupied. We'll go get the food, all 12 of us. You know, it took 12 of them to go in there. Do you realize that? It took 12 of them. Why couldn't they cast lots? They cast lots for a new disciple. Why couldn't they cast lots to see who'll get the food? You know? No, they're all, hey, we'll all go. They got out of there. Not only were they preoccupied, they were prejudiced. They along with their hunger pains, they had prejudice pains. They came back, you remember, and they said that they marveled that he was talking to this woman. They marvel. No one asked why. They just marveled. Yes. Well, Jerry, it that could be. I'm not going to say it's not. They're in a heap of trouble. I'm going to guess. I mean, this is what I love about you. I'm not sure they knew what was going to happen. I just felt like they didn't want to be in that country, and they would have any excuse to get out of that country before they ran into anyone, you know. Saved or lost, anyone in Samaria. They may not believe that a Samaritan can be saved. Yeah, I know some of the youth ministers don't believe junior high kids get saved. The word was, I don't know if they have a soul. Just joking, Jerry. Okay, but it could be. I don't think it'd be a tough assignment. It's just like what we used to do. We used to have these evangelism classes in our churches where you come out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night to study how to share your faith. You remember? It was called Wow or Now. It was same girl, different dress. And you'd come and we'd learn how to witness and why we should witness and how to witness and all that. And then on the next night was when you came and we went out. You remember those? I don't know if any of you ever came that night because most of the people didn't. Hey, man, my shoulder's hurting me, and you know, and toilet overflowed. I had to be, yeah, I wish I'd have been there, Pastor, but, you know, all of a sudden that night to go out and witness, Jerry, the people, the numbers went down. And so you're shuffling through the cards. Oh, Samaritan, man, okay.
I'm thinking they had their calling, but...
The willingness. Good point.
But they all went into town before they had the large amount of Samaritans, right?
And they bought the food from Samaritans. You see, this is really, they're pretty complex here. It's exactly right. They went in and had to buy it from a Samaritan. Boy, I can't believe I'm giving them, it's stimulating their commerce. But I am hungry. That's great.
Another thought is, disciples came with Jesus to the well, and when he encountered the woman, then they left. But the verse says that Jesus was wearied on his journey, and they were serving Jesus to the exclusion of serving others around him. And how many Christians have a relationship with Christ, and they serve him, but don't even think about their neighbors and the people around them?
I think he called that the least of these. The least of these? You unto me. Good point. Good point. They did have a prejudice. How it's lived out, I don't know. Number three. This is why I believe they missed a revival. Number three. Once again, the disciples wanted physical food. It's part of the preoccupation. This is verse 31 through 32. Because they come back 31 through 32, and that's when they tried to get him to eat, see? And so it wasn't going to buy food, but they came back and they felt like Jesus should eat. And that's their response to this life-changing encounter. They see what is going on and they say something goofy. Oh, I'm so hard on them. They see what is going on and they say something goofy. Here, have something to eat. Number four reason why I think they missed it. They were procrastinators. That happens to us. We think we got 4 months to the harvest. Verse 35, we have 4 months. We have time. Disciples are not the only ones that put off important things. You know, I was in the midst of two funerals yesterday. It always happens at funerals. Rex and I and the staff, we do a lot of funerals. And we're in the midst of people who say, wow, if I would have known. We were at the bedside Friday morning. Many of you know Linda Sewell. Linda Sewell passed away. We were at the bedside and long, 5 years in the hospital, Albert, right? 5 years laying in the bed in the hospital. Listen to me, folks. And for some of the grandchildren, some of the people there, it was a shock. Lordy be. To me, it was a relief.
Yeah.
There's worse things than death for a Christian. I mean, if you really believe that, she'd lost her fact. And yet there were some that said, there's always that. But these guys, they were procrastinators. You guys, here's a lesson he wanted them to learn. After you miss that, you can't procrastinate. You take advantage of the time at hand. You take advantage of the situation in your office. You take advantage of the situation in your family. You let the Holy Spirit lead you to say what you're going to say and when to say it. I know that's tough. Sometimes we say things ourselves that are goofy. But knowing when to say something and how to say it. But don't procrastinate. They're not the only ones that procrastinate. Reason number five, I believe they missed a revival, is they had no concept of evangelism. Verse 37, 38. They did not understand verse 4. I have must needs to go through Samaria. 37, 38. And herein is the saying true, one soweth, the other reapeth. I say unto you, reap where you own, and bestow no labor. Other men labored, and you are to enter into their labors. That we water, we plant, and we water, and we harvest. They didn't understand this concept of evangelism, how it happens. And folks, I know myself, I never know when I encounter somebody during the day, if one of you, maybe, has already watered the seed, or planted the seed, or watered the seed. You see, salvation is almost a process with us. We've heard. We've heard. But we just didn't respond early in life. We heard. We went. But we didn't believe. And so it's a process. And so I don't believe during my day that I think that I'm going to lead a whole bunch of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm anticipating it, but I'm not out there trying to harvest all day long. But I would like to not mess up something that some of y'all planted. You know, that can happen. You do know that can happen. I had a guy at work one time at Delta Airlines that I'd been close friends with. And I'm at work one day, and one of the other people at Delta that was letting everybody know that they're a Christian and wanting everybody to know where they go to church and wanting everybody to know that they can't do certain things. And you know what I mean. You got those people. And he just turned my friend off. Just turned him off. So sometimes we get in the way of the process of evangelism, sometimes, but they don't even think they understood the concept of it. And Jesus took them out to the well at Sychar to show them evangelism. It's when you encounter somebody. When you encounter somebody, they didn't understand it, but he has a concept. Here's Jesus' concept. Number one, verse 4, you contact people socially. He must needs to go through Samaria. And so he contacted this woman socially. And number two, in verse number 7, he begins to establish a common interest. What was that common interest? It was water. They were well getting water. She was talking about physical water. Oh, he's talking about living water. And so they had this common interest. Number three, in Jesus' plan, he aroused interest. He aroused the interest. He causes people to want to ask another question. He arouses interest. I know I'm weird, but I think of him kind of like the tactics of Columbo. For those of you who know Columbo, he was a master at the... One more thing. His one more thing just ate their lunch, didn't it? Just one more thing. He would cause them, because Jesus aroused the interest. In verse number 10, it says it that in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you just knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, then you would have asked of him and he would have given you the living water. So it begs the question she's got at, well, who is this guy? It's me! He was the master at this. Number 4, Jesus, don't go too far. don't unload the boatload on him. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. His concept was, you know, don't go too far with this. You're in a process here, verse 12. And art thou greater than our father, she says, Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? She's still talking about the living water here. She's still talking about and he's answering them next in verse 13, that whosoever drinketh this shall not thirst again. And just a little bit more, see? A little bit more. And then lastly, you need to stick to the main issue, and that's what he did. She wanted to distract him and talk to him about, where do you worship? Where do you worship? Are we supposed to worship in the temple? Are we supposed to worship in the mountains? We worship under a tent? Where do we? What's the right place to worship? Hey, you worship in spirit and truth in your heart. Yeah. She wanted to distract him, talk about where's the right place to worship. What's the right church to go to? Oh, my soul. We can worship right here at this well if you want to. We just did. You're going to have the opportunity in just a moment to worship at this well. The well of water that sustains your life back in town. And now you're going to get the living water that's going to sustain your life eternally. That may have been the reason why she left that water pod. Hey, I don't need that anymore. Now, when she got back in town, she may have came to her senses. I don't know. But, you know, she didn't bring any water back, but it didn't matter because she's going back out there again. She was taking those people. Jesus contacted socially. He established a common interest. He aroused the interest. He didn't go too far, and he stuck to the main issue here. By reaching the Samaritans, Jesus knew that he's starting this mission here on earth. He's moving out of Jerusalem, Judea, the home base of Judaism. And he knows that he's going to finally get them to the point that they understand it's Jerusalem and Judea. And then Samaria and Galilee and the uttermost parts of the world. The disciples weren't ready for the uttermost parts yet. And so right now, he was getting them to branch out of their prejudice. We're going to leave Judea. We're going to leave Jerusalem, fellas. And we got needs to go through Samaria. Why? To send the gospel out. You see, in the book of Acts, we went through the book of Acts. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, the apostles, the disciples, carried on his work in Samaria. Samaria was an important place. And then to the Gentile world. It's amazing that these guys missed the revival. Jesus took the opportunity to give them a teaching lesson about missing opportunities. And it's okay. The woman had an encounter with Jesus. And the Bible says in John 4, we're squeezing a little bit more out of this, many people believed. It reminds me again of the Gadarene demoniac. The least likely people to enhance evangelism were the down and out and the outcast of their society. A woman of ill repute and a man that was demonic that lived up in the tombs in the caves went back and published and proclaimed and shared the great things the Lord had done for them, and all people did marvel. Let's pray. Father, we love you for today. I thank you for what this day means. Encourage us today as we go through this day, as we speak to people, as we see people, as we encounter people, as we visit with people. Give us a desire to speak to people and let them speak to us. Father, we love you. May we understand our position and our role in what you're wanting us to do in our process of evangelism to usher in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.